Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Basketball Colorado. I'm your host, Matt Langley. Tonight, joining us on the show, we've got our small school guru, Eric Metcalf. We'll also have Brock Lowy of many places and media outlets to join us. And then we'll also release our or go over our top 5A and 4A basketball results and release our new rankings. And then we'll also a new poll question we have over on the 5280 Hoops Talk. We put out a poll question about who we think or who our people on the board think should be the 5A player of the year so far. We'll probably put out some things for 4A and 3A as we move along as well, kind of using 5A as a barometer for gauging people's interest and so on as far as player of the year candidates. And then we had started with on our poll here, it says, who is your player of the year in 5A? We listed Brian Carey, Deron Davis, Jay Coltsman, Ryan Quaid, and then the field. And so far, Brian Carey is winning, and then Deron Davis and Jay Coltsman, Ryan Quaid, and the field are all right about the same. So found that to be somewhat interesting. And then, you know, there's some other 5A players that we can talk about later. But you know, we're going to focus on small school to start off the show. Don't forget, Basketball Colorado is presented by Aspire Beverages. Warning, this drink contains pure performance, no junk, only the good stuff. It may cause victory, achievement beyond your wildest dreams, and epic greatness. Has only 35 grams of only has 35 calories, zero protein, and made out of all natural ingredients, available at Target and Whole Foods locations across the Front Range. And I would like to welcome in Eric Metcalf, our small school guru. Good evening, Eric. How are you?
Good, man. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Hey, it seems like we have a little bit of free time on our hands now that we don't have to watch Sunday football anymore, right?
I'm not going to pretend like I haven't been watching football all day long today. Actually, it was much better now that my team is not in it anymore. Much more enjoyable.
Right. That was some ending to the game earlier today. I'm like, what is this all about? What script did the NFL steal? But anyway, that's my conspiracy theory for the day, and I'll be done with it. So how's things out there on the plains for you?
Pretty good. We're getting to a time of the year now where teams are probably starting to separate themselves a little bit, and we're finding out who's really good in certain leagues, and we're also finding out maybe who isn't as good as we thought and what leagues have a bunch of parity and stuff. So no matter what class you're talking about, it's really getting fun, and I think in pretty much across the board in Colorado High School basketball, we're going to have a lot of good stuff these last 2 months of the season.
Mm-hmm. And so kind of give us a outlook as to who is that. Let's start out with the bad. Let's get the bad taste out of our mouths. Who's not as good as we thought they were starting out the season?
Well, that's kind of a hard thing because there's a lot of season left. Mm-hmm. I'll just throw out a team, and I'm not going to put them anywhere close to the bad category, but a team that had a disappointing weekend is a team that we've talked about quite a bit when I've come on, and that's Akron. They mm-hmm. went up to Highland on Friday night and were beaten by the Huskies. And that's a totally forgivable loss because Highland's good. And they're on the opposite end of the spectrum as a real surprise, a team that nobody really talked about a lot that has had a great start to their season. But Akron was beaten in that game. And then their best player, Jared Clarkson, actually took a flagrant 2 foul, so had to sit out his next game, which was Saturday night. And they got beat by 20 at home by Liberty Common, who's a 3A team, a charter school out of Fort Collins, and a pretty good squad. So neither of those losses are terrible for Akron. Neither of them were a league loss or anything like that. But it's a pretty disappointing weekend for them. And the reason why I bring it up, and I told Jared this when I visited with him, is it's just a long season. You know, those losses you can put behind you and get better from here on out. So I guess I'd be kind of careful I don't want to write anybody off quite yet. But another team that has been a little bit disappointing for me, and I'll stick with Northeast of Colorado right now, is Sedgwick County and Marino. Both of those teams have spent time ranked in the top 10. Sedgwick started the season out in the top 5. They at one point lost 3 in a row and really struggled. They're 0-2 in league play. Very surprising there. They finished at state last year and acquitted themselves pretty well down there. So really surprising, and I'll see them in person on Friday night this week. So see if I can find out what's going on with them. But there's a lot of teams right now that I think are just kind of feeling their way out and still could make a run at it. But I think the big story, definitely in Class 2A, where I'm focusing on right now, is there's a couple of teams that have really separated themselves from the pack.
Give us a little more on Highland. You know, I'm not, like I said, comes to 2-1A, if I hadn't seen you in the state tournament maybe last year, or I hadn't heard of your name in the state tournament last year, good chance I'm kind of out of the loop on you. Tell us what Highland's all about. I mean, we kind of saw what Akron was doing before, and they had, Clarkson and their, I think he's a sophomore now, their sophomore Herder. Is that right?
Yeah.
You know, they're playing really well. How does Highland, what does Highland have that would kind of take out the Rams like that?
Yeah, well, first of all, they're a good team and a good program, and they're now I think 12 or 13-0, but they're led by this kid named Caden Hicks, who had 35 against Akron. He averages 26 points and like 11 rebounds, and he's a really good player. I tweeted about him last week that he's probably the best player that nobody's really talking about at all in the small school ranks. I don't even think he was an All-State honorable mention last year, but he's having an All-State first team kind of year. He's a senior. He's gone over 30 four out of the last 5 games, and the other game was a 28 point and a pretty much a chance for a double-double every night too. He's had double-doubles in the last 4 games and 5 out of the last 6 games. He's not really big. I think he's maybe 6'3 or 6'4, but he just plays way bigger than he is. Super smart player. He's extremely efficient. You know, I look over Max Preps and stuff on stats, and they don't really track efficiency and some of the advanced stats. My guess is Caden Hicks' efficiency number would be off the charts. He's a terrific player for them.
Excellent. And then I forgot where you were going with that. I probably should have been taking notes while you were talking. So that takes care of Highland. Do you expect Highland to stay up there and to be able to compete in their league and maybe win the league and make a run to the tournament?
Well, we'll know a lot more about Highland in a couple weeks. I'm looking at the schedule right now. Oh, actually, it's Friday night on the 23rd. They play at Resurrection Christian. And Resurrection is just, they've blasted their way through the first part of the season. They're averaging something like 90 points per game. And they've posted some really impressive wins. So if Highland can beat Resurrection Christian, then obviously they'll jump to the top of the contenders in Class 2A. But I'm not sure they're necessarily ready for that quite yet. And they'll get another crack at them in their district tournament and so on. So at Resurrection Christian on Friday is a huge challenge for Highland. Outside of that, they'll probably win out. And so they're a team that has a great chance to make it to state. And I'll stop there. And just as a side note, the 2A regional format is really weird, and we're not going to get into it tonight, please. But it's really strange.
Yeah, no, I get confused as it.
Yeah, so I can't necessarily say that Highland and is a shoe-in for the state tournament, because there would be a lot of work to do for them based on the regional tournament. But they're definitely one of the best 8 teams in the state, and we'll find out if they're one of the best 2 or 3 teams in the state on Friday when they.
And then what else can we expect out of 2A there?
Well, the other thing I would just say, the defending state champion Sanford, they're so good. They don't put anything out on the internet. There's no stats for them. I mean, they're just a team. It's a tiny town down in the San Luis Valley, so nobody tweets about them or talks about them. But they lull you to sleep all season long, playing kind of a schedule without a lot of headliners. Then they get to the state tournament. They're incredibly disciplined. They execute in the half court so well. And our friend Kevin Schaefer went and watched them this last weekend. And Kevin's as good a source as there is. And he told me that they're the best team in 2A still. It sounds like pretty easily. So I'm going to stick with Kevin on that. But they're interesting because there's just nothing out there about them. I don't even know the kids' names outside of Chance Canty, who was an All-State kid a year ago. But they're a complete team, and it sounds like probably on a collision course with Resurrection or perhaps a Highland or somebody for a state tournament. And I'm looking forward to when I can finally go watch them play.
Excellent. So what else you got for us there on the small school scene?
I think Sangre de Cristo is in 1A, and they're another team that's down in the valley, and they don't get a lot of publicity at all, but their team has had a really good start to the year, 10-0, and probably comfortably the number one team in 1A. And then there is a school out here on the Eastern Plains, the Rickery Woodland. It's a consolidation of two schools.
Mm-hmm.
They won the state six-man football championship. So
right.
I'm familiar with them, extremely athletic team, 8-0. They're going to roll through their regular season out here. And it'll be fascinating to see when they get up against a program like Sangre de Cristo, who's been a 2A school for the last who knows how long, playing down in 1A, how a team like a Rickery Woodland will match up there. That's going to be pretty fascinating to me. But a Rickery Woodland is very athletic, and they are way better than the teams they're playing in their league out here. So I would expect them to win 22 games or whatever on their way to the state tournament. And that's going to be fun to watch if they can – continue that, because they're playing in a bad league, to be honest with you. But when they get to the tournament, see what they're really made of.
Excellent. So I saw you tweet out the other day, or I think it was probably yesterday, about Yuma and how their head coach wasn't in a talking mood, and his 7-year-old pretty much summed it up for you.
Well, what I was mostly doing was kind of having fun with Coach Sheffield, because our inside joke is he'll tell me something after the game and then say, don't put that on Twitter, because he may or may not want it out there. So mostly what I was doing was having fun with Coach Sheffield, who's a terrific coach and an even better guy. But yeah, the Indians had a game that they lost at Peyton that maybe they shouldn't have lost, but they got blasted on the glass. They couldn't play defense without fouling. There was a lot of things that went wrong and lost on the road by 10 points. So Coach Sheffield, and you would understand this with some coaching background yourself, was pretty hot after the game. So I was having some fun with him. He didn't come on the radio with me for a post game, but his 7-year-old son did come talk to me. So I put it on Twitter for him.
Excellent. And what did his son say again? I don't remember exactly how he said it.
Something to the effect of, Dad kicked me out of the locker room because what was about to go down with the post-game speech.
Nice. That's funny. At least, you know, son, you can't come in tonight.
Yeah, I like that.
So if we kind of preview this next week, next couple weeks, we kind of talked about Highland at Resurrection Christian is going to be a big game. What's another game or two that probably next week or two is circle worthy to say, yeah, this is going to be the a big one here?
Well, that's definitely the big one. in Class 2A, and I'll be honest, I didn't look ahead for the upcoming week in 3A, and I'm trying to click around and do that as we're talking. But the other big one in 2A, Akron visits Yuma, which this show is focused on boys. That's a huge game in the mm-hmm. girls' side of things. But in the boys, it's going to be a lot of fun as well. You experienced a little bit of this, but it's a really good rivalry game. So Akron coming to Yuma after two straight losses mm-hmm. will be interesting. And this one actually won't count in league standings because they'll play twice this year, and the second matchup counts in the league, which is kind of strange, I know. But it's still a really big game. So me personally, I'm excited to see Sedgwick County and Akron in person because they're the two teams that have maybe struggled a bit here lately that I think can still put it together and make a run late in the year. So I'm excited to see what they've got in person.
Right. And then I kind of already did a preview of 3A, and I know the game that I'm going to be going to on Friday is Colorado Academy at Faith Christian. I tried to catch a Faith Christian game last year, and it was almost impossible because the gym was already packed like halfway through the JV game. I was like, where am I supposed to go? And like, you couldn't get in, you couldn't see. And I'm just like, wow. So I'm expecting that probably be the same thing again this week with Colorado Academy coming in. And the player that I think doesn't get enough, I mean, I know small school kids, you know, really don't get enough attention, you know, for how good they are. And, you know, they don't play a lot of the small kids, especially out on the plains or down the valley. They don't get to play on club teams that travel and, you know, go to Vegas or, you know, Dallas for any of these big tournaments. And one kid at Faith Christian, Galen Harkness, that kid, I know it's not Galen. It's his last name
Grant.
Is Harkness. Grant.
Is it Grant? Yeah.
Grant is a ball player. Grant, I saw him at a camp over the summer, and I was just like, where has this kid been? And so it turns out he's a pretty good football player and a really good basketball player, and just kind of said, you know what, I'm going to go about this a little different way. And, you know, I think he's going to be, I think he translates to a college basketball level. You know, it's probably not Division I, but, you know, he could probably have his college paid for at some level. Because I think that kid's really good, and I think we're going to see that when he goes and plays against Justin Bassey and so on.
And both of those teams are coming off of big wins because Faith Christian whipped Jefferson Academy last week, which I thought was a really impressive win, and Colorado Academy beat Kent Denver in another pretty mm-hmm. high-profile game too. So, yeah, I agree. I forgot that game was coming up next Friday. That's going to be a really good game. I hope you get seats somewhere where you can see the floor, because it's going to be good.
Me too.
And there's another one. Kent Denver plays at Lutheran next week too. So
well,
that's another two teams in the Metro that are pretty good. Both competitors. Lutheran's already won 10 games, and I really mm-hmm. like them a lot. So that's a good one too.
Yeah, and Kent Denver with Coach Shays there, they're always in the mix no matter what. So. I was trying to think, where else was I going to go with this? I don't remember. So where do you, if we did another preview and, you know, looking ahead, and this will probably be the last thing, and then I'll let you get back to the game. I hear it's getting a little rowdy down there. What, if we look forward, what would be a big surprise? And when I mean big surprise, something that you can – that's plausible to happen, but may not. So it's going to be a surprise, and we see that here in the next week or two in some of our matchups.
Okay, I'll stick with 2A, and I'll go back to that Highland Resurrection game, which to me is the best game coming up around the state. But it would surprise me if Highland beat Res Christian at their place. Highland hasn't had a ton of success in postseason play, where Rez kind of has. And, you know, Bruce Dick, great coach at Rez Christian.
Mm-hmm.
He's been through it a lot. I know he coaches a lot of those kids in the summer with his AAU team. So that's just an extremely difficult challenge for Highland. And if they're able to win that game, then it would surprise me, but it'll definitely show that they're ready to take the next step. So I'd make that my – would be a big surprise if game.
Okay, and then we had a I don't know if you've noticed the message board that we have, a 5280 Hoops Talk. That's part of Basketball well, it's sort of part of Basketball Colorado. I have a link there on the home site there to for people to click to it. We did a 5A Player of the Year kind of mid, you know, way too early poll. Who should be the 5A Player of the Year? Who do you think in who do you think should be kind of in consideration for that in 2A right now?
Wow, that's a good question. And basically, that's hard to answer because, like I said, it's kind of secretive almost in 2A because there's this thing where now coaches aren't putting anything out, like on Max Prep, so we don't have stats on a lot of these kids. It's kind of word of mouth and stuff. But I would definitely list Chance Canty from Sanford. I know that he's balling, and they don't put their numbers out at all, so I don't know what he's been up to. I definitely would include Caden Hicks that I already talked about from Highland. And then I think you still got have to include Jared Clarkson at Akron and showed how valuable he is to his team when he missed a game and they got blown out at home. Jared Clarkson, as important as Brady Bear was last year to that team, Clarkson makes a lot of that go this year. He's an underrated defender, a really good passer, and he's a winner, I think. He gets them wins. He was a quarterback of their football team, and that translates well to basketball. So I would put Jared Clarkson in that conversation as well. And there's probably hidden gems out there that I don't know about. One other guy I might throw out there, Simla is going to be in the top five this week. They've got a point guard named Cody Norris who does everything for them too. He scores it, probably 7 or 8 assists a game, big-time player for Simla, who's going to be a team at the state tournament. So throw Cody Norris in that mix as well.
Excellent. Hey, thanks for joining us tonight, Eric. Good luck the rest of the week, and drive safe to all your adventures.
All right, man. Thank you so much for having me. Love coming on.
I appreciate you coming on. That's Eric Metcalf, our small school guru, joining us there on tonight here on Basketball Colorado Radio. Don't forget, you can tweet at us at bballs_co. We're moving on to the big school now, big school basketball talk now. And so go ahead, tweet at us your questions at bball_co, or you can give us a call, call in. We've posted the phone number there on Twitter. It's 347-324-5394. For any of your comments or questions about big school basketball here in boys basketball here in Colorado. We have a couple of games that we'll be sure we're going to this week. We'll go ahead and announce those. Our Basketball Colorado game of the week is Cherokee Trail at Eagle Crest on Wednesday night. Both of those teams are undefeated in the Centennial League. And whoever wins this, I feel, has the driver's seat to the Centennial League crown. Going further into the season here. So make sure if you have any questions or comments, be sure to call 347-324-5394. Or you can tweet at us at bball_co on Twitter. Joining us here shortly will be Brock Lowy of many media outlets across Colorado. And while we wait on him, we're going to reveal our 4A 4A top 10. We got a couple new people that have joined us, or a new team or two that's joined us. 4A. Week of January 18th, 2015. Number 10 is Meade. I still like Meade, even though they lost earlier in the week to Holy Family. I still think I still like the makeup of their group, and I think that I think they've got the pieces that gets in the state tournament. I think that they can make some noise. Number nine, I have D'Evelyn in there. They did lose to Golden earlier in the week. That's, you know, Golden's our number two team. I still think Dievlin with Grant Witherspoon and the way that they play will be a tough out for anyone. And then number eight coming back into the top ten this week is Air Academy. Air Academy went 3-0 last week, had a really good run last week down there in the Springs, and beat some solid teams. This week they have Falcon and Lewis Palmer coming up, so they'll be tested again. New also this week at number seven is Denver South. Got a chance to see them on Saturday take on TJ, and they play really well together. It's a long team. Chuck Gavin, the man in the middle, he's averaging double-figure rebounds, double-figure in points. I had him for 21 and 21 points, 17 rebounds against TJ on Saturday afternoon. He's hard to handle. Probably the best unsigned prospect right now in the class of 2015 as far as big men go in the state. And then number six. Pueblo or Denver South will be playing Gateway and TJ this week. Yes, they play TJ again on the 23rd, and they have that rematch there, and that will be at South this time on Friday. Pueblo West is our sixth team in 4A. They'll take on Pueblo County on Friday. Holy Family is at 5. They're 9-2. They'll play Erie and Berthoud this week on the road, both of those places. Number four is Sand Creek. They're incorporating Jordan Phillips in. Seems like he's fitting in very well. They're 10-3, and they have a game against Cheyenne Mountain this week. And then Pueblo South, they've been off for a week, and their reward for being off for a week is getting to play rival Pueblo Central on the 20th. That's their only game this week, so it should be a good one. Both Central and South have been off for extended period of time, so it might be a little rusty in that game for both of those teams. Golden is our number two team in the state in 4A, 10-2. They have some very solid games against Evergreen, and they travel to Evergreen, and then they'll host Wheat Ridge on Friday. And then Longmont is our number one team in 4A. They handled the Warriors from the 5A classification fairly well on Saturday. Had a big first half, and then Montbello the Warriors made a little bit of a run in the second half, but the Trojans there were able to hold them off. Thompson Valley and Greeley Central await them for their two games this week. And then, let's see. So that's our new 4A top 10 for the week. We'll put out our 5A a little bit later. Maybe we'll argue a little bit with Brock Lowy, who's joining us now here on Basketball Colorado. But before Brock gets in to talk, we have our sponsor, Aspire Beverages. Aspire to greatness, pure performance, no junk. That's right, no junk, only the good stuff. Electrolytes, antioxidants, B vitamins, minerals, and awesomeness. Only 35 calories per 12-ounce bottle, available at Target and Whole Foods locations across the Front Range. Good evening, Brock. How are you?
Pretty good. How are you doing?
I'm excellent. I get to host the boys' basketball talk show. I'm awesome. So you got to see two really good games yesterday, or two what was supposed to be really good games yesterday. You went to the Longmont and Warrior game, and then you're also at Regis Fossil Ridge, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. It was a lot of fun. Seeing two, good Denver teams coming up, Montbello and Regis. Up to Northern Colorado to, play some non-conference games. Those are, I feel like Northern, I live up here in Loveland, and we don't see enough Denver teams coming up here. It seems like I wish more of the teams would host them. So, but yeah, it was definitely a lot of fun to see those two. So, and
excellent. And then okay, so let's talk about the Warrior Longmont game. I wasn't able to get up there. It sounded like Longmont just blew out Montbello in the first half, and then the Warriors decided to make a little bit of a, you know, what happened in the second half that made it so that the Warriors can make a little bit of a comeback?
Yeah, well, yeah, the first half, you know, Longmont went to a 1-3-1 zone with their really talented junior wing. If you know, you know, all the listeners who follow like recruiting updates and everything, Justinian Jessup, he's a 2016 like 6'4 wing who's got great length. They put him at the top of a 1-3-1 zone, and he just wreaked havoc against Bello, and Bello was really out of sync, just forcing shots, and just their execution wasn't nearly as good as Longmont's at either end of the court. And but in the second half, Malik Hart, Montbello's senior guard, who's been having a huge season, he started feeling it, and I think he hit 4 3-pointers in a row. And he had 25 points for the game, probably 18 or 20 of them. I didn't do stats myself, but I'm guessing 18 or 20 of them were in the second half alone. And, you know, he's the type of guy who can bring a team right back into it. And but the gap was too much when Bello was down 35-13 at the half, and Longmont just kept applying the pressure, and Justinian Jessup, and then they've got these 2 6'4" forwards, Kevin Mitchell and Blake O'Grady, who just attacked the rim relentlessly, and they got actually a lot of layups, which was a little surprising against Bello's size and leaping ability. But O'Grady was matched up with the 6'10 kid from Montbello, Rolando Rogers, for a while, and he actually used his quickness to blow by him for several layups. And the Longmont, they just had better execution than Montbello and were able to pull off a big win. So,
Now, what was the difference in the second, you know, really analyzing the play of Malik Hart here? It's been my experience watching Montbello this year. If anyone is going to make Montbello win or drive Montbello to win, it's going to be Malik Hart. So what was the Trojans not doing in the second half that they were doing in the first half that kept Hart under wraps in the first half?
Yeah, well, I think, yeah, just, well, one of the problems for Montbello in the first half was just, like, they just couldn't seem to figure out that zone. And, I don't know, Jessup's length at the top really just got him out of sync. And Montbello also missed a lot of easy shots. And Hart was just struggling, like, finding his teammates. And he just couldn't get into a rhythm, I guess, more than just as much as Longmont's defense was affecting Bello. It was also just, you know, Malik Hart just was totally out of rhythm. And then in the second half, Longmont actually went to a man-to-man defense for a little while. And that I think, helped Montbello for a little bit because you know, Jessup's length was excellent, and in the zone it was wreaking havoc. But in the man-to-man, one-on-one, Malik Hart actually was able to get around him with some quickness a few times. And, yeah, Montbello's speed kind of helped them get back into it, and they got to the rim a little more against the man. And then once they were attacking the rim, it opened up a few more looks from the outside that they didn't seem to get in the first half. And Malik Hart and a couple other guys were able to knock down threes also, but mostly Malik Hart was able to get some open looks they didn't have earlier. So it was just a little better execution, and just kind of taking advantage of that man to man a little bit too. So.
Mm-hmm. And then yeah. And then you got and then after that you get to go over and play or not play, but you get over to Fossil Ridge to watch Regis and Fossil Ridge. And we'll talk a little bit about that game and then we can argue about who's going to beat Regis. You know, I was following along. I was out last night with my family, and I was following along on Twitter, and I see Fossil Ridge jumps out to 18-2, 21-8 halftime lead. And then basically it's like, did Regis just flip a switch, or what was the difference between those two things that Regis started to pull away? And then they had, you know, Fossil Ridge makes a little bit of comeback there at the end. What were some of the changes there? What did you see? As far as how was Fossil Ridge able to get to that big of a lead, and then what happened? Why did it stop?
Yeah, like you said, Fossil Ridge, you know, they jumped out to an 18-2 lead, and I think it, more than anything, it was just kind of one of those cases where Fossil, like everything was going right for Fossil Ridge, like they were just bearing shots. They have a senior guard, Zach Drovdahl, who has a gorgeous jumper. And like usual, Fossil Ridge has a lot of kids who can shoot the ball. And they were just feeling it a little bit early. And Regis, you know, they're known for, like, their execution, and they're just so solid. But they just simply couldn't hit anything early on. And so it was 18-2, and then it was 21-4. But what was so impressive, more than even the, you know, Regis, obviously they started knocking down more shots, simple as that for one. But also I was really impressed with the poise they showed because, you know, most teams, when you're down 18-2 or 21-4 on the road against a really tough program like Fossil Ridge, you know, I mean, you might fold up a little bit and it's going to be really tough to come back, but, you know, Coach Shaw and his team, they never got seemed to get rattled, and they just slowly started working their way back in it. And it was still 32-21 Fossil Ridge at the half. But, as soon as the third quarter started, like it kind of, that's when the moment when there really was kind of a switch, flip. Nolan Ebel, he's a guard, guard for Regis, comes off the bench. He really, he started stealing it, and he had, I think, 7 or 9 points in the third quarter. He ended up finishing with 16 points off the bench, and he made some huge plays. He actually knocked down a three-pointer and got fouled, and he missed the free throw. It could have been a potential 4-point play, but even though he missed it, I mean, that just raised everyone's level. And that's when Regis actually took their first lead of the game on that three-pointer. And so or they might have tied it, but I think they took their first lead. But, yeah, then it was a new game after that. And and then in the fourth quarter, Regis had about a 4 or 6-point lead most of it, but just couldn't quite pull away. Fossil's a team again. But Regis buried free throw after free throw down the stretch. They probably hit 8 free throws in a row to seal it. And so they're just, you know, they pulled out a tough win. And more than anything, the poise and the toughness they showed down the stretch to come back in a tough environment at Fossil Ridge, that was really impressive. So
yeah, and you know, I think one thing we know is you don't foul Regis, because they always, it always seems like they're 75%, 80% foul free throw shooting team, so you just can't foul them at the end of a game and expect to get back into it. So joining, hey Brock, we got a caller wants to talk to us.
All right,
so welcome, caller. How are you?
Is this me, Matt?
Hello, RJ. Right. How are you?
All right. So Brock, I gotta ask you just right off the top. Thunder Rage 4? Really? Wait, before you answer, let's just say go Pats. Pats Seahawks. Let's just get that out there. All right. Anyway. 4? Really? Justify it.
Yeah.
Come on.
In 5A, I think there is like a group of teams that have separated a little bit, and I think Thunder Ridge is one of them, definitely. I think it's Regis, Eagle Crest, Thunder Ridge, Overland, Chaparral, and I'd even say Denver East, and then Dakota Ridge. You know, I like giving a team credit for being undefeated.
No way, man. They barely beat Chatfield. No way. There's a huge drop off after the top five.
But Darren, that's like, you know, it's a rivalry game. You know, Thunder Ridge plays Highlands Ranch this week. What if the unthinkable happens and Highlands Ranch is within 10 points at the end of the game or at any point of the game, and does that really say where Thunder Ridge is? You know where I'm going with this?
No, that's a fair Highlands point. Ranch. Uh-huh.
So, you know, I mean, it's a rivalry game between Dakota Ridge and Chatfield. You get in the league and crazy things happen all the time. Kansas can't win at Iowa State for some stupid reason. And, you know, it works the same way in league play. You get these weird things that happen.
True.
I think I'll probably end up putting, this week I have, of course, Regis 1. I have Dakota Ridge 2 because they are undefeated. But then, you can make the same argument for Thunder Ridge in state that they're undefeated. But then I'll probably, when Thunder Ridge, and this is what I think will eventually happen, I think Regis and Thunder Ridge will meet undefeated on February 11th. And they'll be 1-2 in the state. And then I think Regis wins.
No, I agree. I'm not going to disagree. Brock, I just heard a little bit of the end of your commentary on the Regis Fossil Ridge game. And I actually was over at Gold Crown today for Gold Crown games, and I ran into Mike Parag and Zach Parag, and I was talking to Mike about that Thunder Ridge Fossil Ridge game. That win to me, and Brock, I think you said this, coming back like they did on the road against, in my opinion, one of the best coach teams in the state with some really good pieces, might have been the most impressive game Regis has played the entire season. And I actually think that game was huge for them. If they had lost it, I think it would have been fine, not a big deal. But winning it like they did, that I very dangerous. Regis is really, really good. I think they're the best team in the state by quite a bit, to be honest with you. And as much as I'm going to root for Thunder Ridge in that game, I agree. I mean, Regis is impressive. It's a really good team.
So I think there's one thing that Thunder Ridge might have that Fossil Ridge has is they have dominant post play. So if you can get Zach Pyrog and to play like Orion Quade does, I mean, their games are a little different, but they're basically the same. If you can get Zach to dominate the middle defensively and offensively, I think Regis will struggle a little bit because they just don't have, Kip's awesome. I love watching Kip play. He's a great player. I like but you don't expect Jeff Kelly or the Samson kid or someone else to really go out there and just say, okay, I'm going to go and not only am I going to do my role and rebound and get the ball to the guards, but I'm also going to get 10 or 15 points here in the paint against 6'10", 6'7", and 6'7".
Right.
I don't know if they can do that. I haven't seen them do that. And that's kind of what has to happen.
I mean, for Thunder Ridge to win that game, by the way, the Patriots just got another interception. But I digress. I mean, for Thunderidge to win that game, I think Zach is going to have to do what you just described. I mean, he's going to have to be a dominant force in that game. And, you know, not to get too far ahead of ourselves, but because Chaparral is going to have something to say. I mean, that league is crazy, so there's lots of things that could happen. But you're right. I mean, the advantage Thunderidge has in that matchup is the size and size. And if they don't take advantage of that, they're probably not going to win that game. That's just the truth.
Right.
But looking forward
now,
to it, that's for damn sure.
Yeah. And then I think the other thing, kind of looking at, I went and watched Chaparral. I've seen Chaparral a couple of times this year, and I have him ranked sixth right now. As much as I like how, and I think Moody and Holtzman have done a great job playing with each other so far this year. They've complemented each other very, very well. And then,
you got to give
them
credit
for
that, because some people question that, and they do right.
Yeah. And then you have Chase Coon that I think he – I don't want to say he's the middleman to all of it, because Jake really dominates the ball. I mean, he brings the ball up. He's a point forward. Mm-hmm. He's, in my opinion, the best player in the state right now this year. There's some other people putting up some outstanding point totals, but as far as, like, what a kid – does in a game, if Chaparral loses, if they miss, for whatever reason, a Jake Holtzman for a game, two games, whatever, it's going to be bad.
That's true. Very true.
Because after those first three, I'm not trying to be negative. I'm not trying to make kids feel bad, but there is a big drop off from those three to the next five. Have to come in and replace him. And, Moody and Holtzman are Division I players. Kuhn's going to go play NAIA basketball. You don't have that coming off the bench right now for Chaparral. And It's very evident in those games. Like, when they're playing in Overland, they just needed, Moody was playing well, Kuhn played well, Holtzman played well. They just needed one more piece to contribute in some form or fashion. Against George, that George game was close. Those guards from George Washington, they're no joke. They're freshmen and sophomores, but they play like juniors and seniors. I mean, from those guards, especially Green and the Fugit boys, they do not back down from anyone. It's like, no, this is our game. We control it. We're better basketball players than you.
I agree, Matt. Just as a quick aside, I went to the Thunderidge George Washington game, and they gave us as much trouble as anybody, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm. So I think, and that was really apparent again yesterday at the Chaparral game. If Jake Holtzman doesn't go to the line and go 9 of 10 in the fourth quarter and score 13 points, there wasn't any. Moody was doing his thing, and Kuhn was kind of facilitating and hitting the shot when he had the opportunities. But if it wasn't for how Holtzman basically took over that game and said, hey, we're shooting two no matter what, I'm going to the basket, and there's no one on this team, there's no one on George that can stop me from getting to the basket.
Right.
He did that like four straight times, had an and one, and got fouled the other three times, and then made every single free throw. So
he's a great player.
I have Chaparral six, but if something happens, I think they're going to have and now granted it's, rivalry time, it's league play. It's getting, we're getting ready to start playing our legends and they play Rock Canyon on Friday. They'll be up for those and they'll be ready to go, but it's going to take a lot. Holtzman and Moody have to really carry a big chunk of the load for Chaparral to be up that high. And if they lose one of them, oh buddy, it may not look too good.
Brock and Matt, both of you guys, how do you see this playing out? We're 10 games away from the seeding, the brackets coming out. How many one, two seeds do you guys see coming out of the Continental?
Go ahead, Brock. I've been talking a long time.
I think, man, the Continental, I guess I don't really have a great feel, honestly, for, like, how the committee makes their decisions and stuff, but I think the Continental should get probably two number one seeds for sure. You know, I mean, I don't see why they wouldn't with how good Regis, Thunderidge, Chaparral are. And then, you know, I think that's probably honestly like become the top group just by a little bit in the Continental.
Right. I agree.
With Mountain Vista, Legend, and Rock Canyon, who are really good too. And Heritage isn't even bad either. And Highland Ranch
is
still okay.
Is tough. Brock, I was talking to the Parags today, and, you know, we played, Thunderidge played Heritage Friday and only beat them by 10. And they're legit. They're going to beat somebody. Somebody's going to get upset by Heritage.
Yeah. Yeah, they've been battling everybody, so they're pretty tough. They might be one of those teams in the tourney that, you know, maybe makes the Sweet 16 when no one's expecting it. You never know.
Oh, for sure,
so,
for sure. I mean, so you're saying two ones. I could definitely see two twos coming out of the league, too.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it is, you know, the last year it was, you know, an interesting argument about whether the Centennial or the Continental was the best league. But this year, I just think the Continental, you know, is like the league with the depth it has. And obviously there's a at least a couple of teams, I think, that are legitimate, you know, state championship contenders.
Plus, probably the best team is in there.
Would
you guys argue with, I mean, just right now, and like project it out however you want, you thought the ones were Regis, Thunderidge, Overland, and Eagle Crest, and then you're probably going to get two twos out of the Continental, right? And maybe three twos, maybe? I mean, that would be crazy, but it's possible.
I think that's flawed thinking, sir, and here's why.
Okay.
I think that Fossil Ridge and I think the second team out of the Northern League, depending on how it plays out, because you have Fossil Ridge and then that second team. If it's Mountain Range or Monarch, that's what I think it's probably going to come down to. Monarch, and they're going to be like, what, 20-3, 20-21
That's true.
You know, 21 and 2, something like that. So I think they're probably going to skew that a little bit. Plus, you have to throw in there Rangeview, who they're going to – if. And I was at the Rangeview Central game when they blew the doors off Central, and it was the best-case and worst-case scenario for both teams. Nothing went right for Central, and everything did go right for Rangeview. You know, I was talking to somebody and said it was maybe one of those pinnacle games for Rangeview where they're reaching to trying to play like that again the rest of the year. And Central probably played about as bad as I've seen them play in that game. And Central has this new 6'7 kid that I think will probably change the outlook a little bit for them. But anyway, so you're going to have Rangeview is going to have a great record. I think at least they get a two. I think the second one out of the second team out of the Northern Range will get a two. And then depending upon who's the second in DPL because of Montbello, if they didn't get – and I would felt better about this before they got boat raced by Regis, and I still feel this way. If they can win out and maybe only lose to East, then I think they can get a two seed. And if East wins the DPL, they get a one seed. And especially depending upon how they go about it. But truth be told, I think it's going to be a one seed for the top two in Continental, whether it's Regis and I think if it's Regis and Thunder Ridge, if that's the only loss those two have.
Right.
You know, if the weird – and, yeah, I'm kind of poking a bear with a stick here. Let's say for some weird way, you know, Highlands Ranch can beat Thunder Ridge.
Oh, God,
which,
that's never going to happen.
I like the Highlands Ranch kids. I've never had a problem with them. I've always talked – you know, we've always had good conversations, so I'm not really poking too much, but more to get the the board going again. I don't see but if that happens, and then let's say Heritage does upset Regis, or they do upset someone else, or what if Legend goes and I should probably look this up, but where is the Legend? Legend and Regis is at Legend this year. That's on Friday. If that happens,
it's a tough place to play.
And
yeah.
If you get those Coliseum crazies going, it feels like you're at Duke, and you don't know what in the world what's going to happen, right? So
no, you're right.
But again, Brock, was Ridge Nation out for the Regis game? Was the Fossil Ridge Nation out? The big crazy school crowd were they there?
Not as much as I expected, to be honest. Like it was pretty good,
not
as crazy.
and that's really kind of one of the cool things that I think happens in the Continental League is that you get the student bodies out for these games. And it's like, I remember trying to get, I showed up a little bit late for the Mountain Vista Thunder Ridge game last year. That was a mistake.
That was a big mistake.
I got to get there for the JV game, JV game this year, just to make sure I can see the floor. I love going into those atmospheres, and it's so much fun. But, question on Twitter. Someone's asking us, where do we see the Colorado Springs Metro League champ getting seated? Third?
You think third? I don't know, man.
Well, they'll get a bye.
I think a fourth seed, maybe.
I'm thinking if you're the champ of the Continental, if you're the champ of the Colorado Metro League, you're going to get – or Colorado Springs Metro League, you're going to have to beat Rampart. You're going to have to – and you'll have to beat Doherty. Or those two, I think it's going to come down to those. Those two are both really solid teams, and they can give – Doherty's come up here and gave Dakota Ridge, fits. Rampart, and I don't remember their schedule too much, but I remember they came up here and gave somebody else a fit. So I know they can – I know they'll be right there. And again, it all depends upon, and here's the biggest thing I think a lot of us don't understand about the seeding committee. It's when these guys see these teams play.
Yeah, that's very true.
If I got to see the Dakota Ridge Doherty game, is it the same as, is it the same as getting, going and seeing them play Sand Creek or Palmer?
Yeah, you're right.
It's not the same. I mean, maybe Sand Creek was, but, Palmer, they haven't been great this year. The other 5A teams in the Springs haven't been, they just haven't wowed you. Pine Creek just doesn't wow you.
Found Fort Carson, they haven't had a couple bad losses.
Yeah, and it seems like every year they do that too, and it's I think it might just be the nature of the beast down there with Fountain Fort Carson because of the Army kids in and out and so on. But
talking to some of the seeding guys from CHASA, I think sort of their default position basically is they look at who wins particular leagues. So for example, if you think, let's just say DPL, Continental, Centennial, winner of each of those leagues is probably always going to get a one seed. And if CHASA thinks the Continental is far and away the best league in the state, whoever comes in second, the Continental is probably also going to get a one seed. Now, here's the wild card, not the wild card, but if Dakota Ridge happens to run the table, I think Dakota Ridge is probably a one seed too if they win Jeffco and don't lose.
Because they had that signature. I won't say it's a signature win, but they have a win against Montbello on a in a championship situation at the
right.
Fossil Ridge tournament.
Right.
You know,
that's
hard to argue. And then they've come through, and I think if I can, when I look at the schedule, I might make it over to the Dakota Ridge Arvada West game, because I think that's probably going to be the rest of the way out. I think that's probably going to be their most serious test,
right.
With or without Dallas Walton playing. And it doesn't seem like he'll be back yet from what I'm hearing. May not be back this season.
And the other sort of weird thing this season, and Matt, you know this better than anybody, is the DPL is kind of down, right? So,
mm-hmm.
you know, the winner of the DPL isn't necessarily a slam dunk number one seed to me, like in past years. I mean, past years you could just pencil it in. Whoever wins the DPL
right.
or ink it in is a number one seed. I don't know if that's true this
right.
year. Opens it up.
Yeah. I think it
yeah.
opens it up a little bit, but
yeah, a little bit.
It all depends on how East wins out.
Right.
If East wins out by like 2 or 3 points, and Brian Carey is, I'm gonna do my best to get over to the Regis East game on Tuesday, and I think that if Brian can get through the year, and Jack is helping, I think that they're probably gonna win. Because here's the big thing. Lincoln isn't going to be as good as we thought they were going to be. They're going
right.
to be really solid, and they're going to be right there. And, you know, league games and competition and things like that, Vince will have them coached up. But they're not
yeah.
going to get those pieces that they thought they had.
By
it's
the way, just an aside on that,
yep.
I heard today from the horse's mouth that that's not a done deal, by the way, in terms of eligibility. So just throwing that up.
Right, but there's – I also heard – Now, this one wasn't from the horse's mouth, but it was pretty close. A couple of the players that they thought would be back didn't make it back
okay.
Christmas. Now, the other one –
The guy I'm
the
talking
other
about is the guy, though. It's
right.
The guy that could make the difference, yeah.
Right. And, yeah, I've heard that too, but – As of Wednesday, nothing had changed, and I heard from another horse's mouth that nothing had changed yet.
Right. I wish they would just let him. I would love to see how that plays out. You know, if they had everybody, it would be fun to see. But yeah. It just doesn't. Yeah, ever.
Right. Even if they get one of those pieces back, I don't. Because, you know, they have to go, you know. So let me finish my original thought. Without Lincoln, let's just say it stays the way it is. Lincoln's not going to be as tough as we thought they were. It's going to be a tough game, but it's not going to be as tough as we thought.
You're saying East runs the table. They win the league.
I think so. Now, this is going to be the biggest one to me. And I think an even bigger threat to East this year than Lincoln was, and then, you know, this will be the most competitive the Warriors have been with East since 2010, I think, will be this year because of their length. But I really like how Denver South plays. And they play – now, it's not the best brand of basketball to watch. Their intensity – and the way Chuck Gavin can go and get 20 rebounds all on his own, East doesn't have that.
Right.
They don't.
Do you think if East runs the table, let's just say they beat South and they run the table, they beat Montbello.
Yep.
Do you think they're a one seed?
Yep.
Okay.
If they're double
right.
digit wins.
I think
if they're
right.
double
yeah.
digit wins, yes.
Yeah.
If it's 1 point wins, and they're just barely getting by, that might open it up. It might open it up for them for a talk with a two seed. But if they can play close to Regis, maybe not even win, maybe play like
right.
maybe Fossil Ridge did, win by
right.
or lose by five, you know, in that 10 to 5 point range. Make it respectable. Don't get boat race like Mont Bello did. If East can do that and run the table, they're in one seed.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes total sense.
Do you
think, Brock, if the front range winner has maybe one loss in league, they're a one seed or potential one seed?
Man, I don't know. It's tough to say, but I would, you know, honestly, I would lean towards probably no, just because, you know, like Fossil Ridge, for instance, they might have the best chance just because, well, for one, I think they're probably the best team again.
Right.
At least they have the best chance. But just the fact, and, you know, they lost on 2 buzzer beaters, so maybe they can be those, you know, can be forgiven to an extent, but like just the fact that I guess they lost to Mont Bello and Mountain Vista and Regis now, 3 games where if they had won one, that would have helped their cause a lot. I feel like, I don't know, that it'd be tough to get a one seed. I think the, and then Mountain Range, you know, they've got a good team, but they, and it was the first game of the year, so I don't know how much it means, but the way they lost to Cherry Creek at the beginning of the year was a little little rough, and their best wins are against North Glen. They beat them twice, which is pretty solid. North Glen's pretty good, but I'm not sure if the front range champ can get a one even with a lofty record or not. There's always a chance, but I feel like the front range champ will probably be a 2 seed. More likely. So, but yeah, I'd be curious to hear what you guys think about that. So,
I don't think if Fossil Ridge loses, they lose their one seed. I think it comes down to that because they did lose to Mont Bello. Now, granted, it was a 1 point or 2 point loss at the end of the game on the most incredible. I wouldn't say incredible, but I think that's the most lack of focus I've seen a Fossil Ridge team have in a moment like that. And granted, it was the second game of the year and, you know, and first big situation for a lot of those kids. But I think if I think if Fossil Ridge loses, they lose a one seed. I think if they can win out and they've already beat Monarch. So, you know, if they went out and they're still winning handily, I think they get the one. But I don't think there's anyone. I don't think there's anyone left in that league that can still get a one if they went out. Maybe because what Mountain Range is 11-2, and they play, and Mountain Range will play Fossil Ridge on Tuesday. Maybe if Mountain Range goes undefeated, they can get a two. They'll have a rematch again with Monarch here soon. You know, that would be a tough call though to put Mountain Range in that one slot, even at 21-2. Can't believe I just said that about a team that went 21-2, and I don't want to give them a one seed, but yeah.
Yeah, I guess a lot of it just depends, you know, on if Dakota Ridge, you know, wins out. I feel like, you know, I don't see how you deny them a one if they are undefeated the whole regular season, no matter the schedule. And then, you know, a lot of it depends on how East looks the rest of the year if they, you know, really heat up and get rolling. Because, you know, how strong the Continental is, and then Centennial has a couple of contenders for a one seed, probably two. Well, definitely a couple at least. I don't know. I feel like it'll be tough for the front range champ to get a one, but Fossil Ridge, yeah, I would agree that Fossil Ridge, if anyone can do it, maybe they might have a chance still. So, yeah.
You guys have just convinced me it's going to be the most difficult determination of one seeds maybe in a long time, because think about this. If you let's assume Dakota Ridge runs the table. Brock,
one seed.
You said it. I mean, that's hard to say they're not a one seed. Okay, so now we're left with, okay, so they're the one. If East runs the table,
they're a
one seed. So now we're saying, okay, whoever wins the Continental and the Centennial, each of them are one seeds. So you're going to have some ridiculous couple of two seeds out of the Continental, right?
Then
you're going to have, right? And whoever finishes second in the Centennial is going to be ridiculous two seed. That's crazy.
And
it's crazy.
And here's the crazier part. Because Deron Davis was out the Eagle Crest game, this could really mess up the seeding because if Overland, because I really think Eagle Crest will run the table. I'll have a better feel of it on Wednesday after we go to the Basketball Colorado Aspire Beverages game of the week on Wednesday night.
Nice plug, very good.
Thank you. I just have this feeling that Eagle Crest wins out. I do. I just can't see another team beating them. And they just play too well. They're three-headed guards, and then they have Blend. No one else has that. They just don't. And then, people say, oh, what about Overland? What about Overland? And I've always tried to be, as much as I like the pieces of Overland, you have four college basketball players on that team right now as it is. However, they have not figured out how to really play together.
Right.
I think their individual talents their individual talents will win games against their Smoky Hills and Arapahoes. That happens, especially this year. Maybe not before, but especially this year that happens. But when it comes to playing teams like Eagle Crest again, even with Deron, I think it's a really close game because I don't think they really and I would tell Coach Fisher this too. It seems like they just haven't figured out how to play so that it's okay if Deron gets 30 points. It's okay if Ryan gets, Ryan Swan has a great matchup and gets 30 points and Austin has 10 assists and Deron has another 4 assists but has 30 rebounds, something crazy where I think that's what's holding them back, truthfully. And it's hard to say you're holding somebody back when I think they've only lost one game in state and this year. We lost one.
Eagle Crest and Regis, two games.
Two games this year to arguably top four teams.
Right.
So
the thing that would scare me about Overland, if I was another team coming up against them in the tournament, for example, is they beat two really good out-of-state teams. Really good. I mean, legit.
Yeah.
West Lynn from Oregon just beat, I think, the fourth or fifth ranked team in the country. And Overland beat them. That's dangerous. Yeah.
And then on the crazier side of things, they can let someone go and get 50 points on them.
No doubt.
Like
for
that,
sure.
Now granted, Frank Jackson, what Jackson, I
that
think, from Utah.
He's a ridiculous talent.
But at the same time, it was just like, is he getting these? And some of those shots he got because he is that good. Some of those shots he got was because lack of focus. I'll just put it that way. How do I let that kid get away from me? I don't know. I'm not you. I don't know what you were thinking. So, again, I'm trying to be positive, not trying to be negative. But think about this. Overland could literally end up a three seed off of two losses because of Eagle Crest and Regis, and then maybe a lack of focus game where they play someone like, Cherokee Trail or something like that.
Right.
A lack of focus game, and now, because Trail has the talent that, between Barfield and Thornton and their other guards who play really hard. Oh, and the Lottie brothers. Oh, I can't wait for that game on Wednesday. The Lottie brothers and the Ross brothers going at it one more time. It's going to be so much fun.
David Thornton, by the way, is playing really well. Got to give that kid credit.
He's been playing good too. Just an aside here. I'm looking at this picture on Twitter. How do you own a steakhouse and go celebrate at a different steakhouse when you hire your head coach? Just saying. That's the kind of mentality that goes on down there. Good thing I'm a Chiefs fan, funny. Right? Hey, at least we admit we don't have a clue. Let's see. So, you know, the state tournament, I'm glad I'm not on the seeding committee. It's going to be tough, but I think I'm a 3 seed. If I got to go see an Overland 3 seed, oh, great. What's that bracket going to be like? And then you always know, and there's always this conspiracy theory from my DPL days, DPL teams, or what we would say, you'd never see city teams being able to meet each other in the finals. They would always be on the same side of the bracket. They would never be opposite of each other, right? So what if the seating committee got this wild hair and our conspiracy theorists got together and we could have Eagle Crest, East, and Overland all in the same bracket?
Eagle Crest, East, and Overland?
Yeah.
I guess that could happen.
I guess it depends if, well, let's say East loses a game between here and there and they get bumped down to the 2 seed, right? Because they don't win out from DPL. Maybe the Warriors knock them off or the last game of the season is against South and something crazy happens, and South always keeps games close. So, you know, a buzzer beater at the end knocks them off. You know, kind of like, remember when a couple years ago when East lost to Highlands Ranch? I think it was like East lost to Highlands Ranch after they said the seating, after that 21st cutoff date, it was like the 22nd.
Right, and then they got stuck playing Thunder Ridge.
Right, and that was that year. I think that was Dom's sophomore year.
Sophomore year, and Rudy was livid. They had to come play us at Thunder Ridge, yeah.
Right, and they were saying, and people looked at that and said, oh, the seating committee did hurt them, did ding them on that loss to Highlands Ranch there at the end. They won't count that. Well, it was obvious they did, or they wouldn't have been in the same side there. But you know, if something crazy like that happens where you have this over, and I think you're going to end up seeing that this year anyway. You're going to get one bracket that's just stupid, ridiculously talented from top to bottom because of the parity in 5A,
right.
And then and that third or fourth place, one seed. If they get say they put East at that 3 and then they have the Front Range at that 4 spot, and then, okay, now we're going to load it with the second team from the Continental and then the third team from the Centennial League.
Right.
That's ridiculous.
This is going to sound bad, but let's just say Dakota Ridge – I mean, not bad. That's going to sound biased. If Dakota Ridge runs the table and is a 1 seed, I want to be the 2 or 3 seed in their bracket, in their quadrant.
Historically, Jeffco teams haven't handled that well.
Right.
That's true. Historically, they haven't. So, good point.
I mean, that's how you look at it, though. When you look at your quadrants, you're always looking, and this, again, no offense, but just history. You're looking for a high-seeded Jeffco team. I want a 1 or 2 from the Jeffco in my quadrant. If you get that, it's pretty good. Recently.
All right. Well, gentlemen, we have run over on our time. We were set for an hour show, and now we're at an hour 20. Thank you, Darren, for coming on. Okay. I appreciate it.
Fun
Brock. Stuff. Brock, where are you planning on? I know, Darren, are you going to be at most of the Thunder Ridge games this week? Or you're at least going to make it to the Highlands Ranch game, right?
We lose Brock.
What? What now?
Hi, Brock.
Hello.
No, I was going to say, Darren, you're going to make it to at least the Highlands Ranch game this week, right? Did we lose everybody?
I'm still here.
Oh, great. There's Brock. So, Brock, what games do you have on tap for the week? Which games are you going to?
Well, for me, I don't know yet, to be honest, because, you know, I'm working as a freelance writer, so I have to find out what I get assigned to. But, you know, on Tuesday night, if I'm not covering anything, I'm definitely going to be at East Regis. And then
I call dibs on Saturday. okay. And then you'll just wait and hear where you're going to be assigned to after that.
Yeah, definitely. So I'd like to catch a, you know, there's some really good Centennial League games this week, but I kind of know that league pretty well. And I'd actually like to catch a 4A Jeffco game soon, because that's been a pretty good conference this year and probably the best it's been in a while.
Right.
Especially with Valor and Golden, and Devlin is still pretty tough. A couple others are solid. But yeah, I'd like to catch one of those games if possible. Maybe Wednesday night. So,
I would recommend if you wanted to see a 4A Jeffco on a Wednesday night, you have a Golden at Evergreen or a D'Evlin host Green Mountain, and Green Mountain's got one of the more fun players in 4A to watch.
Yep, definitely Austin Fritz. So.
Austin Fritz, well
no
you know
doubt about it.
Never boring when he's playing. And then, you know, him and a Weatherspoon combo, you could have a pretty high-scoring, fun game to watch there. Well, Brock, thanks for joining us today. Appreciate it. And we'll talk to you soon and catch up probably next week.
Yep, sounds good. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on.
Yep. All right. Talk to you
later. All right, be good.
All right, you too. So
that was Brock Lowy of many media outlets here. And Darren joined us from the dome, Under the Dome in Highlands Ranch. He's an avid basketball fan and Thunder Ridge supporter as well. Want to run through our 5A top 10 real quick, and then we will get out of here. I had originally planned for an hour-long show, but we went ahead and extended the time, and always good to have some good talk here on our Aspire Beverages basketball or Colorado Radio sponsored by Aspire Beverages. Warning, this drink contains pure performance, no junk, only the good stuff. It may cause victory, achievement beyond your wildest dreams, and epic greatness. Try Aspire Natural Sports Drinks, available at Whole Foods and Target locations across the Front Range. My favorite flavor of Aspire is the Storm. That's a great flavor. I think that's the best tasting one. Although the Rush, the Lemon Lime is a solid, solid second. So to look at our top 10 this week, I went ahead and did a top, really 11, because I think whoever wins the Mountain Range Fossil Ridge game should be in the top 10. That's going to be on Tuesday at Mountain Range. Mountain Range is 11-2. Fossil Ridge is 8-5. A couple of those losses for the 8-5 Sabercats come in Las Vegas. To teams out of state. So I try not to penalize teams too much for that. So that'll be, if you can get over to Mountain Range on a Tuesday night, that should be a really good game. Really good senior guards on both teams. They both play really good team ball. Should be a solid game to watch. The number nine, the team we have at number nine this week is Mountain Vista. They're 12-2, fresh off the win over Legend last week. Did suffer a loss to the Warriors, but that was in overtime and by three. You know, that's a call one way or the other, you know, and the outcome's different. And they did lead pretty well in that game as well, if I remember correctly. Number eight, we have Denver East. They're at 6-6, and we mentioned this earlier. They play Regis on Tuesday at Regis. That's kind of a seminal game for both teams. I think if, you know, Regis has probably played the toughest schedule in the state, in state anyway, and we'll see what they can do with the Brian Carey show. should be interesting. And then East, if East can get that, I think it sends a message to the rest of the state that they're back and not to count them out, not to dismiss them. And they'll finally be full strength, so it should be a good game. Then East will also play Kennedy on the 22nd. Eagle Crest is our seventh-ranked team. They're 9-3. They play Cherokee Trail in our Basketball Colorado Aspire Beverages Game of the Week on Wednesday at Eagle Crest. And then they'll play Grandview on Friday, the 23rd. Chaparral is our sixth-ranked team in the state this week. The Wolverines are 10-3. They play Highlands Ranch on Tuesday and then Rock Canyon at Rock Canyon on Friday, the 23rd. That should be a good game. That's a matchup of some club teammates there with Jake Holtzman on Chaparral and Mitch Lombard on Mitch Lombard and Tyler Garcia on Rock Canyon, going back to the Colorado Hawk days there. Mitch Lombard should and could probably will be in consideration for player of the year in 5A. He's an excellent point guard. Tyler Garcia is having an excellent year down there as well. And then, of course, we mentioned Chaparral has the three-headed senior monster of Chase Kuhn, Chris Moody, and Jake Holtzman. Our fifth-ranked team in the state this week is Overland. We talked a little bit about them. They're 8-5. They play at Creek on Wednesday, the 21st, and then they'll play they'll host Cherokee Trail on Friday. Our fourth ranked team this week is Rock Canyon. They're 11-3. Play a tough Heritage team, and then host Chaparral on Friday. Thunder Ridge is our third ranked team this week. They're 14-1. Castleview on Tuesday, and as we mentioned before, Highlands Ranch on Saturday. And then Dakota Ridge is our second ranked team, 13-0. They play Lakewood on Tuesday and Bear Creek on Friday. Lakewood has their sophomore shooter, really a good basketball player, Colton Peterson, so that might be able to. That might be a good matchup there for the Eagles to think about. And then the number one team in the state this week is Regis Jesuit. They're 12-0, 13-0. They'll host East and then travel to Legend on Friday. Big week, another big week for Regis this week. That's our top 5A top 10 for the week of the 18th here. I'd like to thank all of you for joining us here on Basketball Colorado. Thank you again to our sponsor, Aspire Beverages. That's right, no junk, only the good stuff. Electrolytes, antioxidants, B vitamins, minerals, and awesomeness. Pure performance, only 35 calories, developed by two coaches and two dads. Aspire Natural Sports Drink, Aspire to Greatness, available at Target and Whole Foods locations across the French Range. Trust me, you'll like it. Give it a try. Thank you for joining us tonight. We will be with you again next Sunday night. Good, safe weekend or week.